Hey, peoples. I think this is episode 96.
Old 97s.
And I'm not by myself in this intro. I'm with the Silver Badgers here. Oh, we forgot to bring this up. Or Rami Hummel.
Rami,
so you were misnamed at a golf tournament over the weekend.
Yeah, pretty good joke. Yeah, I walked into my cart, and there it is, Rami Hummel.
Rami Hummel, so that's your hill persona, is Rami.
Should be. Yeah.
When you're a good guy, you're Tom.
Yeah.
When you're a bad guy, you're Rom. So this is episode, like I said, 96. On this episode, it's our NFL.
You said it was 97.
No, you said 97. I said 96.
Oh, shit.
I can track back.
We
talk a lot of sports. We start with the Mayweather-McGregor. We go into NFL. So I advise you that if you hate fighting or hate sports around the 5 minute to 6 minute mark, skip ahead till the last 10 minutes of it, because it is heavy sports. Not a lot of jokes. You did not hit your quota for hot takes. You only got one, really.
No, I ripped on Taylor.
I gave you, okay, that's a hot, well, I gave you a second hot take. I'm going to say you fell one short. So in the hot take over under, you came up one short. But as always, this episode is now brought to you by two people. So not as always, but as of recent, it is of course brought to you by Bomber Jackets. Whenever you need something to keep your beer colder twice as long and to look cool doing it, go to www.mybomberjackets.com and find yourself a 12-ounce, a 16-ounce, a 650 size, a 750 size, whatever size you need for your craft beer, neoprene jacket with awesome art from an awesome dude.
Hey, Red Hot Rami likes a Red Hot Ripplets bomber jacket.
Oh, so yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. Yeah, he,
by far and away one of his better ones.
He's got some crazy designs. So just head over there to the website. You do use the promo code RAPCAST15 to save 15% on your entire purchase. Or if you're more of a tactile shopper and you need to touch something before you buy it, go to the Beer Sauce Shop, located on 318 Mid Rivers Mall Drive in St. Peter's, Mo, 63376, or visit them on their website, which is, I believe, I don't know off the top of my head, so I'm going to click this little button, beersauceshop.com.
Hey, Andrew's a great guy. He's been a friend of us since almost day one. He'll hook you up there. If any kind of beer need you have, any kind of whiskey need you have, any kind of barbecue sauce you have.
Or rub.
Or what else do they have there?
Wines.
Wines.
They have a couple of like cool custom growlers that you can do.
Yeah, they're also a certified green egg sales place.
Right, and smoker. Temperature-driven smoker from Made. Everything they have in the shop is independently owned and or local owned. Not every beer is local, but they do have a good amount of independent owned breweries in there. An insane amount. Everything's pick one instead of buying a pack.
And you know what my favorite part about that place is?
What's that?
You can taste it before you buy it.
You can taste anything before you buy it, or you can have it instantly chilled before you buy it. So there's a lot of things going for it. There's beers on tap. There's whiskey flights. There's wine flights. And like I said before, you can also pick up bomber jackets there. You can see them in person.
It's like the Rapcast is all grown up, and all of our adult friends are in one convenient location.
I feel like it's because we made these people famous.
Yeah, it's really you.
Way more famous than we are.
I just make jokes.
Is that what it is? Is that because I feel like if you go on Kimmel and Fallon and all those things, you're already super famous, and they're super famous. But apparently, if you come on our show and go somewhere else, you get way more famous than us.
So Andrew's like our Ben Affleck?
I think we're just a springboard to success is what I'm trying to say.
Could be.
So just do us also a favor. Do both of those things. And when you're done or if you are on the way there, download our episode. Rate it, review it, share it, because you're not doing that. Because, again, no one does that stuff.
Rerat.
Yeah, Rerat's
number
our
one, baby.
Yep, Rerat one. And here comes the music for the intro. And we'll talk to you soon.
Random Ass Podcast.
We are back, and there's a lot of room in here.
Is this the ultimate lineup?
I think
is this when our best work is done?
Yeah, I think if we're using to use some wrestling terms, which Missy is now giving you crap for using a lot, if we were executing the Freebird rule, this is the optimal lineup, I think.
We're the accent smash, if you
That's
will.
That's right. I don't think the other two are going to appreciate that.
No.
But that said,
is Missy Mr. Fuji in this scenario?
No, she's definitely not Asian. She is not Asian. Although she does, sometimes when she squints, she does. Speaking of of irritating the other two. I wanted Bender here to call him out for something. I'm gonna let people inside the inner workings, so to speak. We were setting up for episode 100, and we were going to do the game episode where we're going to record us playing Drunken Quest, where we get drunk while playing the game Drunk Quest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be one of the releases for the 100 week. Now it's going to be episode 101, and partly because, you know, I want the main guys here, and then maybe a couple extra. I think Schilling is going to be here.
Yeah, he sounded like he was.
Yeah, he committed on the Facebook, which that's a binding contract. But here's where it gets south. Bender says, you know, he's like, well, we're talking about what we're doing and what's available. And he's like, not to be a wet blanket on the 100 podcast, but I'm going to be in Memphis that weekend for a soccer tournament. He goes, I do not want to miss it. And he said, can we do the weekend before? I said, no, that's your buddy's birthday, and that's also Hop in the City. He goes, well, I'm out. And I said, well, you suck. This is where it goes south. This is where I almost got mad at him, and I wish he were here. He put, well, had we planned the date together, I would have told you. And to which I wanted to respond, if I could get you to plan anything when it comes to our scheduling, then I would be super happy.
All right. In his defense, I thought he was here when we kind of planned it. Or we were kind of throwing out.
We were throwing out what dates we wanted to do. And I was just looking at the calendar to try to fit. I didn't want to fit it all in. Like, it wasn't like I picked that date because it helped us.
Mm-hmm.
I picked it because if we want to do like three episodes for that week, I want to space them out. I don't want to cram them all into 1 week. And that weekend seemed ideal. But apparently not for him. And that's why I said, you know, if.
That's why I'm number two, man.
Because honestly, and I know he'll listen to this and he'll text, I throw these ideas out like multiple times. If you have input on when to do it, say something. You never gave me input on what day to do something until after I plan it, and then he tells me if it works.
I am curious to how far in advance he knew about the soccer tournament.
Oh, I'm sure a while. Yeah, I mean, they've got their dates that they know, especially that's out of town.
I'm sure the date was 2 or 3 months in advance, and I'm sure Rachel knew for sure.
Yeah.
But how far in advance did Bender know about it is a little curious.
Yeah, I think he's pretty up on the soccer stuff.
Okay.
I think because he goes to all the practice. He even helped coach for a long time.
And to be fair, this is why he's not here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremiah is a good young soccer player.
He really is.
And it's what he likes to do, so I don't give him crap for that. I give him crap for the snide remark about planning in person.
It was a little passive-aggressive.
It really was.
It was very passive-aggressive.
And I told Missy come home, and she goes, did you get mad at Bender on that? I go, had he been here, I would have yelled at him. I would have gave him a hard time, big time, right back. That would have bungeed on him.
Sure.
So
we rescheduled it.
We reschedule it. Yeah, so now it's going to be episode 101, which is okay. That kicks off the new 100s.
So what are we doing for 100 now?
We're still going to have a regular episode. I'm going to do I just want to release a couple episodes that week.
Okay.
We're going to do a regular episode, like, we'll do, you know, the week or so before. We're going to do I've got the best of the unreleased stuff.
How's that coming along?
Oh, it's done, except for I put a clip of whatever we do, these new episodes.
Okay.
And then we're going to do the now I'm going to try to get in that Kevin Smith movie marathon, and I'll let you know if or when. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's probably going to be tough for you.
This could be my last episode for at least one or two.
Yeah, I got a feeling. And that is because
the Baby Badger is coming September 5th at 7:30 in the morning.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, we're getting excited.
Yeah.
Even John, Nean Bananas, is acknowledging that.
Did he get so excited he threw up on your furniture and your floor?
No.
Oh, just here?
No, but now his new thing is whenever he gets mad, he goes, I'm frustrated.
Oh, nice.
It's so funny.
Yeah. It'd be even better if he said frustrated.
Like, yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like, something like that.
That'd be cute, too.
It is. Well, the kid is cute.
Well, he can't help it.
But I'll tell you what,
you know,
man.
He's the milkman's son.
I'm getting tired. That's true. I'm getting tired of this damn Paw Patrol, man.
Oh, I hate all cartoons. The only saving grace that I have from my youngest daughter now is the only cartoon that really sticks with her is SpongeBob, and I can appreciate SpongeBob.
But does she watch, like, those Disney live-action shows? Because those may be worse than the cartoons.
No, they don't watch any. They did watch one, but because there was some YouTuber they liked on it, but he got fired, so now they don't. And when they did watch one, they watched iCarly, and I loved iCarly.
Really?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
When I first started dating Kelly, she watched... she would watch really silly shows to fall asleep to. and like she'd watch like Hannah Montana.
Oh my god,
so bad.
Did you guys start dating when she was 10?
kind of
like that is Hannah Montana.
Yeah,
I apologize, Kelly. She's gonna. She might listen to give.
She might.
Flack for that.
But. No, actually, that show isn't even that bad compared to some of the crap that Johnny Bananas watches. Ugh. Blech. Now he watches like YouTube music videos. Bad.
Oh, like and it's Daddy Finger.
Yeah,
oh,
all Indian produced. That's how the Indians are gonna get us. They just put these mass produced monkeys jumping on the bed.
We're gonna bring this up at the end of the podcast, but remember in Super Troopers, Afghanistan animation.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Chimpo.
Yeah, we'll get to Super Troopers 2 later. So, right. But before we do that, let's jump in, because I want to push all the miscellaneous chit-chat bullshit at the end, because there's two big things I want to talk about.
How many hot takes am I going to have?
This is a 3-hot take episode.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, you're going to have to raise the bar.
All right, let's do it.
So, and everybody take a drink for each hot take. We're going to get into the NFL. This is our NFL-themed episode.
Bum, 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 bum.
And we'll get into all of our thoughts on NFL season. I just put down a couple of topics and things going into the 2017 season that I thought were interesting. But before that, the numbers haven't came in. But I do feel like we should talk briefly about what is quite possibly the biggest night in sports ever in terms of purchases and money generated. And
that is a hyperbole.
The biggest night? No, I'm talking about over $1 billion generated in one fight in one night, and that's just for them.
Is it over Pacquiao and Mayweather already?
They expected it to blow it away, and one of the reasons why is because
this country's racist.
No, because the MMA fans weren't the casual MMA fan was not tuning in to Pacquiao Mayweather.
Sure,
the casual MMA fan was tuning into this. In fact. Heading into the Mayweather-McGregor fight, we were shopping at Target earlier in the day, and we were scanning, and our Target cashier said, "You guys watching the fight tonight?"
Wow!
And I said, "Yeah, we are." And then the person over, and these are people you would never expect. We went swimming at the swimming pool, me and Hayden today, and the lifeguard, which was like a teenage girl, said, "I bet you guys watched the fight last night," and she started talking about it. I mean.
Huh.
This was something the world was talking about.
It's interesting because my perspective on it was I totally forgot about it that it was this weekend until about Tuesday. And most of my friends did watch it. I did not. And I wouldn't have anyway, regardless of me playing golf yesterday and passing out about 10:30 because I was drinking all day. And the reason why is because I was so amped up for Mayweather Pacquiao, and it was so boring and such a waste of time that I kind of figured that – this would be the same thing.
And I always thought that fight was going to be boring, and that's not me.
Well, you're more into the...
Yeah.
I'm more of a casual fan.
I also, before we get into the Mayweather-McGregor and my thoughts on that, I will say this. There was some debate back and forth I had with some people on the Twitters and the Facebooks about Mayweather and this fight and then Mayweather-Pacquiao. And someone told me that, you know, Mayweather's problem with Pacquiao is he didn't fight Pacquiao in his prime, to which... I was sitting here thinking about that as I was watching the fight last night. That's only assuming that the rate of diminishing returns is drastically different for the two fighters.
Sure.
So to say that he never fought Pacquiao in his prime, Pacquiao never fought Mayweather in his prime either.
Sure.
You're assuming that Pacquiao's rate of declination was greater than that of Mayweather's.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then he just wasn't as good of a fighter.
Yeah.
Now, there was an injury in that night. There's also a huge amount of people that think that Pacquiao's great success came after he started juicing. Mm-hmm. But that fight was not what we were going to talk about. I want to talk about McGregor-Mayweather because I did last minute decide to purchase the fight.
Mm-hmm.
I threw it out there and said, if anybody wants, I got invites to some other things. And the problem is I didn't want to go anywhere.
Sure.
What skewed it for me was when Melissa said, the flop said, you know, if we get a few people over, it'd be worth watching. I think I kind of want to watch it. And I said, okay, perfect. So I threw it back out there. I did get some commitments. Unfortunately, I was late to the party. Like we said, almost everyone you knew was watching it.
Yeah.
So everybody had plans, and then some people couldn't make it. But the Huskoviches came down and watched it with us. And, you know, they threw in some. So it was the immediate question that everyone's going to ask is, was it worth it? Was it entertaining? Very much so. Was it worth $100? Probably not. I think the only fight that should be worth $100 is Mike Tyson versus Muhammad Ali, a fight that you'd never see. You know, and they'd have to both be in their prime. I mean, $100 is a hefty price tag to put on a fight, and then the undercard be so underwhelming, like not a lot of names that the people – like had they got some names that average Joe knew in the undercard, or maybe found another MMA versus boxing matchup. I mean, that, but that's assuming a lot of work.
Did you see, do you follow Empty Seats Galore on Twitter?
Who is it?
Empty Seats Galore.
Oh, I do not.
Okay. Have you heard of it, though?
Like, I've heard of it, I think, from you before.
Okay. They were tweeting out shots of, like, the fourth or fifth fight of the card, the MGM.
Yeah.
And it was completely dead.
Oh, that's always the case.
But, I mean, but, like, to your point, though, if there was any kind of buildup, maybe it would have drawn more interest in...
But boxing...
and me, anyway.
Boxing is amazingly different than MMA. Boxing is... The stars don't get there till the main fight.
Sure.
And you go back and even watch in the heyday of Ali and Tyson.
Well, MMA is a lot more popular, too.
MMA also puts together full cards.
Yeah.
So, and boxing is, you know, you get a top fight, you get some people that, you get maybe one huge prospect underneath.
Sure.
I think maybe the biggest card I can ever remember in boxing was, I think there was a Tyson Holyfield card, or was it Lewis Holyfield? One of them, and it had like... Michael Moore, Moore, who was a left-handed champ, I think that was his name, and against like George Foreman. I mean, the card was solid underneath it. It was a little, but other than that, so yes, it was entertaining. Was it a great fight? Now, I've seen a lot of people say this fight was great. And it was a very entertaining fight. But I told Missy after it was done, and also I'm humble bragging. So take a drink. It went exactly as I thought. And I told Carter, friend of the show, been on the show, he said, Mayweather knock him out in third. I said, no, Mayweather, it's either going 12 rounds or a late stoppage by the ref.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, Carter says, no. I said, hey, I'm clairvoyant. He goes, well, to be fair, you said 12 rounds. I said, no, read the text. I said 12 rounds or late stoppage.
Sure.
10th round, late stoppage.
Yeah.
So... And the reason I don't think it was as great a fight, and I do respect McGregor doing what no one in the world could do, stepping in against a legend in his sport and competing. No one can do that. No, yeah. I mean, he's the only guy with the balls enough to do it because he doesn't care about his rep.
Sure.
His rep's solidified. In fact, it makes him more manly. But I don't think he did as well as everybody thought he did, and here's why.
Sure.
Mayweather went out, threw about 12 punches through the first two rounds, took shots that had no... Everybody talks about McGregor's power. He did not know how to translate that power from MMA to boxing. He didn't know how to set down on his punches. He didn't know how to use leverage. He wasn't catching him super clean. He got him with a couple of good shots. In fact, he hit him way more than anybody else has hit him. But...
Recently.
Well, man, he hit him 100 and something times in the fight. That's unheard of. I mean... Well,
yeah, but, you know, Mayweather's been hit that many times. It's been a while, though.
It's been... over a decade since he's been in championship form. He's Pacquiao didn't. He hit him 30 more times than Pacquiao.
Didn't Cotto get him a couple times, though?
Yeah. I mean, realistically, Mayweather's been hit about 7 hard times in his career.
Right.
And McGregor got him about 6 hard times in this fight. Unfortunately, he didn't have the sting, and I still think that in a cage, McGregor would beat him quick.
Oh, sure.
But the reason I don't think it was as good a showing for McGregor as everyone thinks it was is because Mayweather instituted his game plan, never variated, never got in trouble, and closed it when he knew he could close it.
Yeah.
That's not, I mean, everybody's like, well, he went longer than I thought. No. Once he got to the 26th minute, that's 1 minute past what he fights in MMA, which, by the way, he doesn't go a lot of 5-round decisions in MMA.
Mm-hmm.
But once he got to the 26th minute, he was done.
Yeah.
And that's when, I mean, the fact that everybody says, you know, a purely defensive fighter that makes a career not getting hit just goes balls out, throwing punches with reckless abandon to win a fight, because he knew there was no repercussions at that point.
From what I've read from the interviews from Mayweather, it went exactly as you had talked to me about. I can't remember if it was on air or not, but Mayweather did the smart thing. He knew he was going to wear him out.
He knew he couldn't be knocked out by
him. Yep. And people, he took it seriously.
People were overestimating the fact that McGregor's power is great. He just does it. He did not, and I will say this, give him 10 years of training, that would be a great fight.
Yeah, sure.
But he didn't have that 10 years of training.
Right.
And he didn't know how to land those punches with the hard power that he needed to.
Sure.
But, you know, I will say this too, though, also listening to the...
But he also, Mayweather said that he felt like he let the fans down the Pacquiao fight, and it was boring, and he wanted to make it a little bit more entertaining, and this way... The fact the fight was stopped by the ref without McGregor falling down, it does leave the door open for a rematch in a year or two.
They're not going to rematch.
You never say never.
Now, I tell you what, I would put a bet on them not fighting before I would ever put a bet on their fight.
Oh, sure. And I would say, yeah, odds-wise, probably 70% they don't. But the door is open because there's enough people out there, people being Hoosiers,
yeah,
who are like, oh, man, he gave him a good round. You know, it was better than I thought it would be.
Another friend of the show and former guest, John Shannon, put on there that it was a soon stoppage. I thought the stoppage was perfect. I've watched a lot of fights in my life, and it was a fine stoppage. He didn't throw a punch in a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then John said, well, neither did Mayweather in the front round one and two. Mayweather was never in trouble.
Right.
McGregor was in trouble. He couldn't lift his arms. He could have been – I think Mayweather could have ended it in the ninth, but he still was being tactical. If it would have got to 11th, it would have been more the same, and the ref's job is to keep that from happening.
Let me ask
you
this.
To protect the fight.
Let me ask you this. Let's say Mayweather was promised if he can knock him down in three rounds, mm-hmm. he would get an extra $250 million. Is he knocking him down?
No.
I think he does.
I don't think he does. I think he that's not – that is so – for the same reason that I thought McGregor took – and McGregor even said this. He got his back effortlessly in those clinches, and that's when he choked somebody, and he couldn't do it. Because muscle memory shows him how to get someone's back. Someone shows him how to get, you know. And I don't think he's got years and years and years of training to fight the way he fights. To ask him to go out and throw caution to the wind and knock him out in the first three, that's when you get hit with an off-balance shot or something crazy.
Sure.
And with McGregor with a full tank where all he has to do, all you could tell him is like, hey, he's going to get an extra $250 million to knock you out in three. Well, McGregor will say, okay, well, I won't throw a punch, and I will just avoid
that makes
punches.
Sense.
You know, it's just they fight this fight 100 times, and 99% of the time this is the way it's going to come out. But I think if Mayweather steps in the cage, they fight it 100 times, I think 100% of the time he gets submitted.
Oh, of course. And I don't think that's any question.
Yeah, to what you were talking about earlier, rematch, I don't think there's going to be a rematch, but I do think the next move is for – I think this is as a sport versus sport. I think Bellator, UFC, yeah, all of them, World Series Fighting, whoever, whatever it's called now, all of these MMA promotions have a legitimate beef and a legitimate argument to say, hey, our biggest star went over to your sport. Now, you send one of yours to ours and see how it goes. Because the James Toney versus Randy Couture, that was a farce because Randy Couture shot for a single leg from his dressing room that everyone in the building saw coming, that a guy in high school wrestling knows to avoid. And he took Toney down, hit him a couple times, submitted him.
It's completely different sport. I don't think there's any boxer that could last more than 2 minutes against a champion quality
grappler. Yeah. And by the way, James Toney came into that fight like 40 pounds overweight, proving that his best fight was KOing the buffet before he got into the cage. So,
I'm a casual. Well, you know what? More than casual. I'm a pretty good sports fan.
Yep.
Casual when it comes to boxing. Casual when it comes to MMA.
Combative sports. Yeah.
Combative sports. I could probably name 10 MMA fighters right now. I can name two boxers.
Pacquiao and Mayweather.
Yeah, or in the Klitschko brothers. And
who were semi-retired after.
Well, one of them got beat.
He got beat, and it was that was the fight of the year, I think, in combat sports.
Sure.
Yeah, that was and then the guy that beat him, and I forget his name, he's a British guy. He is, him and Stipe Miocic, the champ in UFC, have been jawing back and forth. It's never going to happen. Heavyweights are the least likely to make the transition either way.
Right, right.
Because the danger level is much greater for a heavyweight. I mean, when one shot from both these guys can not just knock you out, it can essentially, you know, cause massive brain damage for what they do.
It's just sad in a way, though, that boxing was a big deal when we were kids. It was probably I remember watching all the Tyson comeback fights against Holyfield and Lennox Lewis, you know, getting those fights. And now it's just so off my radar that...
Well, they did it to themselves. And MMA's in danger of going that direction,
too. Well, some of it, too, but themselves. But also now with the heightened awareness of CTE and concussions, people just don't have...
Well, you know, to that I'll say I was listening to someone, I can't remember who it was, some football player on a podcast or something, and they asked him, you know, had the CTE reports came out when you were in college or high school, would you have second-guessed? He said No, I wouldn't have. He goes, these boxers, these fighters, these football players, they're not going to second-guess their career. They don't give a shit about the CTE report. They might later in life, but you're still as long as there's money coming in, the CTE is not going to matter.
it does it for people already doing it, but I think younger kids who are getting into sports and have choices between, if you're a great athlete, and we're straying away a little bit from the conversation, but if you're a great athlete, let's use Bender's son, Jeremiah, who's a great athlete, probably could play 3 or 4 different sports because that's how naturally gifted he is. Why would you play a sport where you're going to get beat up when you could play a sport like soccer or baseball moving forward if you're that good of an athlete? I think you're going to see more of that.
Well, there is some legitimacy to the fact that heavyweight box guys that were heavyweights in the 50s, 60s, and 70s are not boxing now. Now they're tight ends in the NFL. Because if the theory was the less damage, but they're still are there power forwards in the NBA?
Sure.
Rest assured, boxing is still a great way to make a living if you're a world caliber fighter. But Mayweather is now only the third $1 billion athlete in American history. It's Tiger, Brady, Tiger, Jordan, and Mayweather.
That's you're talking about endorsements?
Just $1 billion career earnings.
Sure.
No, that's not endorsements. That was $1 billion career earnings. They said
it's got to be endorsements.
It's got to count endorsements.
Yeah.
But Mayweather's may not because he just made on two fights has made almost $500 million.
It's got to be just total earnings.
But
Mayweather probably by performance it's got to be the highest.
It's him or
it's gotta be him or Tiger.
No, I think even before, if you just take sport alone, it was what's his name, Dario Franchini, or one of those Indy 500 drivers that were getting asinine amounts of money.
I don't know how much you win for.
I remember that statistic. Whoever was the dominant one at the time, he was making like $80-90 million a year on winning.
Hmm.
Not just endorse, just winning. That's insane.
That is insane.
But all right, but my last thing I will say about this, and we'll put a bow on this topic here, is that listening to the post-fight press conference, first off, I don't know how you could not like McGregor more after this, because he's laughing, he's having a blast at the end. He's like, hey, you know, I got a paycheck. He goes, I'm drinking Notorious whiskey coming out in like June. He goes, going to take over the whiskey world next. And he's like, but then he gets into the fight. There's a reason the dude is so good. It's not that he's all talk, like a lot of people think, but he broke down the fight, knew where he went wrong, knew what made Weather so great. And I got to tell you, it's hard to break. I mean, it's not like he went back and watched it. He went back, showered, and had to go to the press conference, see the doctors. But, I mean, that's awareness. That kind of fight IQ is hard to replicate.
And I think you can make the same case for Mayweather.
He's super smart.
He is one of the greatest athletes out there. Definitely can be arrogant and can get people rubbed the wrong way. But even though Missy hates when I say it, he plays the heel role perfectly.
Yeah.
And came out of this fight acting very humble, happy to get that 15-0 record. I think he's got one more fight left in him still. The guy, you know, now he's talking about, well, now I got to talk to my billion-dollar friends and find ways to get more money.
The problem with the one fight left in him is who's he going to fight? Because the guys at the top, the Triple Gs, the what's his name? I think probably the best boxer, Lomachenko, the best boxer on the planet. Maybe, arguably, right now, the way he performs, maybe one of the greatest boxers of all time. Those guys that are close to him in weight, he's not fighting those guys.
No, for sure.
He's not fighting a 20-year-old in the top three. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you do? You fight him? Let him fight Pacquiao again? I mean, I don't know. I just think that, you know, I hope we're past this. The sports can go back to being what they are and being great on their own.
Would you be surprised if McGregor stays in boxing, gets a few wins under his belt, and they fight again in 2020, we'll say?
So Mayweather's 42. Would I be surprised? Incredibly surprised.
Hell, George Foreman won the title when he was, 45?
Yeah, heavyweight. Also a heavyweight. There's a lot of difference when those guys can knock over a cement truck with one punch.
Sure.
And, you know, you don't have to move as fast.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, hey, who knows? I mean, stranger things have happened, especially in this sport.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's been more crazy things happen in the world of boxing than almost every sport together.
Money talks.
And there's money in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always...
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, definitely.
There's always going to be money in boxing because of the casinos. And
yeah.
I know they're on board with MMA, too, but the money just doesn't flow like it does for boxing.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's that. Let's move from one sport, one concussion-ridden sport, to another. And let's get right into our NFL predictions and stuff, because there is some stuff I want to talk about at the end of this. So, First off, I just put, you know, some of the things I want to talk about. We'll get into fantasy at the end.
Okay.
But I just thought NFL season's on us. What are the big stories coming out of the NFL seasons? Well, the number one story, I think, coming into this season is it the Patriots again?
Is that the number one story? I think the number one story right now has got to be Ezekiel Elliott. Is he going to get that suspension reduced?
See, I think individual stories, like the importance of individual stories in NFL, are only affected to fantasy players and the team. But I think the average person wants to know how their team's going to do. And I
still think it's the biggest national story, because whether we like it or not, the Cowboys are still, if not America's team, top three most popular teams.
Yeah, they're the most.
NFC contender, just losing a heartbreaking game to the Packers.
Isn't it the Yankees and them the two most valuable franchises in America? I think it is.
Probably.
I think it is. Yeah. But so they are, you know.
Yeah, and it's, I guess the second would be the Patriots, and will they repeat?
So what do you think? No Edelman. That's new.
That's new, yeah.
So that makes I drafted Burkhead late, which makes my Burkhead pick a little better, because he's going to fill that Edelman role, but then we'll talk about fantasy later. But here's what I wanted to say. Not just can they repeat, if you were laying money, AFC alone, do you take the Patriots or the field? Just to make it to the Super Bowl, not repeat and win it.
Oh, sure. I'd probably take the field. I think that there's too many variabilities
in the NFL.
In that situation.
One Brady injury.
Sure. So, what is this, 2010 where Brady, or 2011 where Brady blew out his ACL in game one. So
In the Chiefs game.
Yep. And, you know.
And a questionable hit.
Yeah. Was that?
He went low on the quarterback.
Who was that?
On the sideline, if I remember correctly.
No, it was right in the middle of the field, but. God, who the hell was it? Was it Brandon Flowers?
I don't know.
Anyway, the question would be who can compete with them in a game. I like the Raiders still. I think they were a very good team last year, and when Carr went out with his own knee injury issues, that obviously sunk their season. Even though they've never won a playoff game under Marvin Lewis, the Bengals are still a pretty solid team that could
Got the Raiders and the Steelers as the leaders of the field,
mm-hmm.
just because they're always teams that are always there. But, you know, I mean, it's – I don't know. It's you know, it's tough. I mean, they just – until someone beats Belichick, then, you know, it's just – that's the way it is. I just don't know if – it's one of those things in Pete Carroll and USC, until you take him off the throne, you just got to assume that they're always going to be there at the top.
Yeah, and, you know.
Even when they don't win, they still win 13 games, you know.
The AFC, there's just seems, in all of the NFL, really, it just seems like a lot more mediocrity, which is what they've wanted. And off the top of my head, besides your mentioning of the Raiders and the Steelers, other teams that can maybe sneak up on them, maybe Houston, if Deshaun Watson ends up being better than whatever Houston was trailing out there last year. I mean, the AFC East is terrible again, so the Patriots are going to get, of course, you know, six wins right there. Can't think of really any other team that could challenge them, but it's just one Brady injury away.
We're going to get to the Bengals thing here in a little bit, too. I've got them at the end of it.
Sure. I think that the best chance for injuries aside is the Raiders. The one thing that can maybe trip them up is – how much of a home field of advantage are they going to have this year?
I think it's going to be awful. When I was out in California, I was talking to some people about it, and they were, because I was out there in San Diego, and some guys north of LA drove down to help with the thing, and they were like, "Oh, we're still going. We love the Raiders." Like, they're leaving. you guys are not. I'm baffled by how you could support a team that is leaving you, and they're just playing because their stadium's not ready. You know.
Well, the Raiders situation was kind of the most hopeless of the three during the relocation process, because there was no money. Not that there's a lot of money in the city of St. Louis, but no money in Oakland. They didn't even show up and have a proposal to build a new stadium. At least St. Louis had those designs for National Rent-A-Car Stadium. At least San Diego was trying to give the Chargers a $1 lease at Qualcomm until they were able to maybe get something downtown.
Yeah.
There was at least conversation.
There were options, yeah.
The Oakland mayor just said, fuck it, see ya.
Yeah. the only thing that the biggest negative I think coming out of the Raiders leaving was that, spoiler alert for people, but I'm a big fan of the show Ballers, and I now know how the season ends. Spencer Strassmore gets them to Vegas, and I, you know, that's the central plot of this, is The Rock's character is getting them to Vegas. Like, well, I know how it's going to end. They're in Vegas. So how about number two? Here, let's get off the Patriots and AFC. How about, can Atlanta recover from that Super Bowl?
No, and here's why. The NFC Super Bowl champion has had real struggles following – or not Super Bowl champion, the NFC championship winner has had real struggles following the years that they've won.
With the exception of the Seahawks, they've maintained a level, but even they didn't go back-to-back or anything like that. That's near impossible for a non-New England or
– It seems to be.
Denver team. Denver's been able to do it, you know, in recent times.
Sure.
You know, plus you got the coaching change. I mean, Shanahan's in San Francisco, and we'll talk about that at the end. I mean, Sarkisian has had what? How long is it? I mean, has he ever had this important of a job?
Well, I mean, he was the head coach of the University of Washington and the head coach of USC. No. Well,
yeah, that's what I mean, in the NFL, which is different.
I think a head coach of a Power 5 conference is more – well, maybe not
all. I ask Nick Saban how that worked for him and Urban Meyer.
It's different, though, because, well, I mean, look at Pete Carroll. He's been able to do it both.
Well, there's a difference there. Pete Carroll cheated badly, so he might still be. We don't know.
But look, you've also had NFL coaches who've tried to come in and coach college teams and have failed. It's a totally different mindset.
Because of recruiting.
Yeah. Yes. Success doesn't lead to one and the other. I mean, or Steve Spurrier, one of the top 5, 10 college
football. The old
ball coach. One of the top five. It's completely different. I think a more of a fire and brimstone guy can get more out of college. I mean, Nick Saban has gotten to the point now where he's become a lovable old conversion.
He's like Bill Parcells.
Did you see any of his talk on the solar eclipse?
No.
Oh, God. He's like, I don't know why everybody's so excited. I've already seen the Weather Channel's demo of it. It's going to be pretty much the same thing. I guess we got some glasses so the guys could take a 2-minute break during their water break. He was just annoyed.
He was channeling his best Popovich impression.
Yeah.
And you know he's going to let them watch it.
Oh, of course.
But that's what he does. But I tell you this, Saban's – the one thing that I'll say about Saban in college, to transition off NFL for a minute, is that is a guy that is not afraid to fucking blast his assistant coaches.
Nope.
On TV and in interviews.
Oh, God. I mean, poor Lane Kiffin.
It couldn't happen to a better guy.
No. I kind of like Lane Kiffin. but to answer your question, though, no. I mean, more people are going to know who the head coach is of USC Trojan football than the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons. So,
right.
I think this is a really good job for Sarkisian.
It's smarter
to rebuild his brand.
It's smarter to go coordinator than straight from head coach to NFL head coach. That's tough.
Sure.
I think you should go to, like, Charlie Weiss. You know, he went from coordinator to head coach, but, like, then went back to coordinator. I think that's the closest parallel, is a college head coach to a coordinator.
Sure. I would say this, though, on the topic of Charlie Weiss in general. Don't ever hire an assistant of Bill Belichick's, because it usually does not work out.
No.
In fact,
no.
I don't think it's ever worked out.
It's not worked out. In fact, I will say, outside of Bill Walsh, the assistant coaching tree success rate, because you worked for a great head coach and you were supposed to be smart.
Sure.
That guy got Mike Holmgren and Seifert, and there was a slew of super genius in Denver. The older Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all those guys came out from the Walsh system, but outside of that, like, no one outside the Holmgren system made it. You know?
Yeah, I think you're better off if you have a coordinator that's with a guy, let's say, like Mike Tomlin, like a smart guy, but not a genius. You can't replicate geniusness. So, like, another example going outside of football is, look at all the assistants Krzyzewski's had.
Oh, yeah.
None of them have had major success.
It's don't minor even get success. Into Snyder.
No, not even him. Tommy Amaker. No.
Oh yeah, Amaker.
Amaker, yeah. And then Wojo and Marquette. You know, he seems like he's doing okay.
Yeah, but there's a difference there with Wojo too. I think Wojo was such a role player.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy that.
So was Snyder though when he was at Duke.
Yeah, but I think Wojo seemed like a guy that was not afraid of hard work and he probably learned from the failures of the people in front of him. Mm-hmm. He also started smaller, you know.
Sure.
So that's,
you know, the one he's actually, no, last topic before we got off the tangent. Bobby Hurley's actually done pretty well where he's been.
Oh yeah, where did he go? He went to a Division II or so, or just a very small school, right?
I want
to
say he started off at Santa Clara, and now he's at Arizona State, maybe?
That's a good jump.
Yeah.
That's a good jump.
Yeah.
All right, how about after the Atlanta recovering? So will Atlanta make the playoffs? How about the last question with them?
Yes, I think Atlanta will end up being 10-6. And
by process of a weak
still
field,
still probably win the NFC South.
Oh, yep. All right, so one thing real quick, too, is, you know, I kind of – before I get to the next topic, I was looking at the quarterbacks, you know, the young quarterbacks in the league. I think we're in a pass of the torch here in the NFL. I think the Bradys and the Roethlisbergers and stuff, I think they're, you know, even if Brady plays till 45, I think the Mariotas, the Winstons, Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott. I don't have a team still. I'm a NFL widow. But you had the Niners. Mm-hmm. If you had a choice right now to pick any quarterback in the league to be on the Niners, who would you pick and why?
Any quarterback in the league? Well, it'd be hard not to take a Brady. But knowing that we're young and rebuilding.
So I'll give it another way. Your life depends on the Niners winning a Super Bowl in the next 5 years.
Oh,
what
God.
Quarterback do you pick?
I'd run and hide. I'd take my money and
You'd
run and hide.
Dead.
Yeah, I'd be dead.
Let's say three-year and under
quarterbacks. Let's just do that.
If whatever way you want to spin the scenario.
No, a quarterback that I want to base my future on. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Base the future of the franchise on. I think in that scenario, it would be Mariota or Winston for me.
Okay.
I think those guys came out with
Which one would you pick?
Right now, it's going to sound weird, especially the way I'm going to go later, but right now I would probably pick Mariota because of the lack of turnovers.
I would pick Mariota as well. The reason I would hesitate on him and think Winston is, I think Mariota is out of this league in 6 or 7 years.
Think because he's going to get beat up?
I think he gets beat up too much.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And that's what that's
Winston seems like. He's a little bigger, plays a little smarter with his body, doesn't run as much. If he can cut down interceptions.
Well, yeah, and we're going to talk about him in a little bit, too. He's Brett Favre. So,
a little bit.
But, yeah, so, yeah, I would. But, I mean, it is. I mean, it's a weird time. I mean, it's a good time in the NFL, too, and it's a weird time for fantasy because you do have such a old guard still putting up numbers, but knowing Drew Brees, another one.
Drew Brees.
You know in the twilight. I mean, they are in the – even though they're still producing,
yeah.
They are in the downslope. They're just that good.
Yeah.
You're just that good. And you have a lot of young guys. Speaking of young guys, how big is the sophomore slump going to be in Big D? You brought them up earlier.
In Dallas?
Yeah.
They go, what, 13-3 last year?
Something like that. Dak Prescott had 4 interceptions last year.
Well, yeah. So sophomore years, it seems like they usually regress a little bit.
He had 4 interceptions, mind you, with a wide receiver who's the biggest nutcase since T.O. So now that if they're on the same page, maybe he'll have better numbers.
I think Des Bryant's washed up, man, to be honest with you.
I think he's nutcase.
He's on the wrong side of 32. But he's still got, like, Cole Beasley there. And I think they'll be okay with Run DMC with Elliott out for at least the first
Yeah, if you're going
weeks.
To lose your starting stud.
Mm-hmm. They still have the best offensive line in football.
You're gonna replace him with the McFadden?
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
And besides, I think the Eagles are going to be a little bit better, but the mm-hmm. Skins will be worse. I think
yeah.
The Giants will be a little worse.
Well, the Skins are just a team that's never had good leadership, period.
Oh, Dan Snyder.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Al Davis, the sequel.
I'm just still. After the whole Rams thing, and now we're almost two years removed from it.
Going into our second year.
Yeah, second year. I'm just not into the NFL still. I'm still recovering from how that all went down, and it's not. I'm just not into it as much anymore.
But we are talking about it still because we still love fantasy. And
no, of course. I love fantasy. And, you know, are we just talking NFL? We're going to talk a little college football, too.
You can if you want. We'll bring it up at the end. But
sure.
I want to go real quick. I'm going to buzz through these because we're going to run long this episode, I think. But here we go. You brought up a name earlier in Lewis with the Bengals. Here's my coaching hot seats. Here's my names because you know every year it's almost like a third of the league is fired and replaced.
Sure.
Here's my First off, I put Belichick and Carroll, maybe the coldest seats in the history of football. They're going nowhere. Nothing can happen to those two guys short of murdering someone in the parking lot of the stadium.
I'd also throw Mike Tomlin on there.
Oh, yeah.
And probably McCarthy.
What about Arizona? He's pretty solid. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he would be up there. His is
I think you nailed it at the third name, but Belichick, Carroll, and
Mike Tomlin.
Tomlin, because McCarthy, there was talk of him leaving last year. And the year before. But if there's talk, where there's smoke, there's fire. Maybe they thought, you know, this is stupid. He's a great coach. But they still talked about it. You know, no one is ever going to talk about Belichick, Carroll, or Tomlin leaving. You know what I mean?
Well, I would say, honestly, probably Steelers fans. Tomlin is probably as disliked by their fan base as McCarthy, but people feel bad because Tomlin's black. They don't want to seem racist.
They've had three head coaches. You know what I mean?
Tomlin's a great coach.
He is a great coach.
That team's, you know what? That team sucks. And Mike Tomlin gets every win
prepared,
possible.
Yeah. And so, but here's the people that I do believe are going to be on the hot seat this year. John Fox in Chicago.
That guy's mailed in for the last 2 years.
Yeah, and so he's done. Hugh Jackson in Cleveland. I mean, you just – and that's not necessarily his fault, but you just
– if the Browns go 4-12, I think he keeps his job.
That's unbelievable. Keeps a job, but that 4-12 there is success. You know what I mean?
Well, when you went 1-15 last year when they were openly tanking, they might openly tank again because they want that USC quarterback, Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Caldwell, Lions, 1-done's not going to get it done for him, I don't think, again. I mean.
Here's the thing, though. The Lions franchise, they've had such futility in their history. I think Caldwell has the best winning percentage in franchise history.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, remember how long did Wayne Font stay there?
Oh,
long as that Ford family's still running the place. As long as Caldwell goes 8-8, 9-7, totally fine.
I think he's got to get to the playoffs again to keep his job. But I don't
know. Number two, I mean, not to get in a race because it feels like everything in this country is race. Being a black coach buys you a little bit more time.
It does, but we're also getting to a time, I think, to where there's more black candidates out there to.
Probably. That team also kind of sucks. So I think if Caldwell can just go 8-8, 9-7, it'll be fine.
Pagano. With the Colts, cancer's gone. There's no more feel-good story to keep him there.
I would say if I had to bet money right now, Pagano's fired.
And then here is the surprise ones that I'm going to put on here. Peyton with the Saints and Lewis with the Bengals.
Lewis won't get fired. Same thing.
I don't know if it'll be a flat firing for – I think Peyton just wants to go to a different situation. He's got Breeze on his way out.
He could leave on his own, but I don't think he's on a hot seat.
I kind of do, because there's been talk of it before. There's been some bumpy times with Spygate and all that stuff. Or not Spygate, but what was it? Bountygate. Bountygate. Sure. And then I think that with Lewis at the Bengals, I think that the talented team that has just underachieved. I think they've got to win a playoff game. And it's kind of here in St. Louis. We experience it with the Blues. Yes, success is great in the regular season, but at some point you got to win in the playoffs. And if you can't change all the players, but you can only change the coach. And Lewis is a good coach, too.
But this is also Mike Brown. I mean, he is one of the cheapest owners in sports.
That is
he's a complete douchebag. I mean –
if he's making money,
he would have fired him years ago if he gave a crap about that team.
Yeah, if he's making money, then let the futility go.
Here's the real question, and I don't know the answer. What's Marvin Lewis' contract situation? Because you know Brown is not going to pay Marvin Lewis for services not rendered.
Right.
Off the top of my head, another coach I know will be fired by the end of the year, Todd Bowles from the Jets. They're going to just clean house.
Yeah, that's another one
season.
I put on here. Yeah.
Another guy could be on the hot seat if they go 7-9 or worse, and I think that might happen. Ron Rivera in Carolina. The honeymoon could be over quick.
Yeah, and you know, there was such a love affair for him a couple years ago.
Sure.
And last year was a tremendous step back for him. Mm-hmm. I do, you know what? That's one of the few times, too, though, I will side with the crybaby player. I just think Cam Newton got fucked last year. There should have been 20-30% more roughing the passer penalties on that guy.
I think
it was hack-a-shack on him is what it was.
Yeah, and I think the world of Cam Newton, he would be, if I was building a team for what I cared about, he would be in the top three of a quarterback I'd want to build around. He's still young. For all those hits he's taken, he still shows mobility in the pocket.
He's a man.
He's never had very good receivers for the most part, besides an aging Steve Smith.
A resurgent Greg Olsen.
Yeah, oh, tight end. And then I think Kelvin Benjamin this year is going to be big as we get into fantasy. We could talk about that a little bit. I don't know. I'll tell you what, though. I miss not having a team. And last year I actually dated the Panthers because I like Cam that much. This year I'm going to date the Arizona Cardinals because I love Arenas as a quarter or a coach.
Coach, yep. And Carson Palmer being healthy is the key there.
Yeah, I would be a lot more excited about them if they are kind of like a MILF of NFL teams.
Carson Palmer.
The window is short, I think, with the Cardinals.
Yeah, Carson Palmer to me was the a lesser exciting story, lesser exciting version of the Drew Brees story. A lot of people had just gave up on him. And he went there, and it was almost like they forgot how much talent he had. And Drew Brees was the same thing, except Drew Brees had a genius head coach and a slew of weapons around him. But
I mean, look at Kurt Warner. He basically made the Hall of Fame by having Larry Fitzgerald and a great situation.
And before that, Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt.
Isaac Bruce. It's the age-old question, though. Does the quarterback make the receiver? Does the receiver make the quarterback?
It's 50-50. Absolutely. It's a combination. I mean, look, I'm a 49er fan, and I'm the personification of that argument because I have two quarterbacks that made the Hall of Fame with the same receiver. You know what I mean? So
Jerry Rice would have been in the Hall of Fame if he was a St. Louis Cardinal.
I could throw footballs to Jerry Rice, and he'd have been all right. Absolutely. How about we're going to do some predictions, and I just put the four down. MVP, who's your pick for the MVP this year going into the season?
Oh, God, I haven't really thought about this. My MVP for the season is going to be Aaron Rodgers. I think the Green Bay Packers are going to win the Super Bowl this year. I think they're going to go 13-3. I just have a feeling that this is going to be their – it seems like they have all the pieces.
Kind of
the
what
right
they
place.
Do, go three years without, one big year.
Yeah, I don't think – there's so much parity in the NFL this year, and – they were close last year.
I think he's the most exciting player in NFL to still watch.
Absolutely. So that would be my prediction for the MVP. How about you?
I like I said, this is going to be odd considering I said I'd take Mariota over him. I think Jameis Winston has a real shot at being an MVP of the league.
Okay.
I think
So you are on the Bucs bandwagon.
No. Yeah, well, yes
well, you
and
have
no.
To, I mean,
yes and no. I think that he can go out there and put up a 40 touchdown, 10 interception year with what he has around him. But like a lot of stories in NFL, I think the Bucs have a couple year window. That defense is incredibly good. The offense is as good as it's ever going to be right now.
The running back situation shit.
Doug Martin had a down year last year, but
he's
suspended
for the first three or four games.
First three games, and he looked good.
You like Jaquizz, huh? That Jaquizz?
No, I think they're going to throw the ball all over the fucking place. I think this is the best complement of receiving Mike Evans has had around him with a good rookie tight end, a guy that can stretch the field in DeSean Jackson.
Well, they're already saying that. Well, we'll see what O.J. Howard does. They got Cameron Braff, too, so, I mean, it's very possible.
Yeah, so I think there is an argument that he might have the most talented receiving core in the NFL right now on paper. I mean, Pittsburgh's got a pretty damn solid one.
Make a case for Eli, too, as long as Sterling Shepard isn't dead.
Yeah, the problem with them is the problem I have here. You forget about them.
You can make a case for the Patriots. Even with Amendola out, you still got now Brandon Cooks. You've got
– well, Amendola is –
not
Amendola,
sorry.
Yeah, Edelman.
Julian Edelman. Yeah. Chris Hogan's good.
Yeah,
Michael Bennett's good.
The problem,
Gronk.
Gronk's played 16 games in 3 years. So here's the problem with New England is it doesn't matter or you don't know what their receiving core is because you got a guy that throws the ball all over the place at a high efficiency anyway.
Sure.
So all right. So rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year, I think, is going to be Leonard Fournette for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He is a man of playing against boys. He was.
You aren't worried about him being hurt right now?
No. I mean, he sat out the last two games last year at LSU because he didn't want to get more hurt.
Yeah.
That team is crap.
They're going to – see, that's the problem I have with it.
He reminds me of Steven Jackson, just a big
Eddie
beast
George,
of a man.
Steven Jackson.
Yeah, just going to run the hell out of people. I think he is going to put up Ezekiel Elliott numbers if he stays healthy. That's my rookie of the year candidate. Who do you have?
Well, the problem, Florette was one of the guys that I thought of. The problem I have is just he's probably in a – I mean, he's just in a shitty situation. Team is not going to be able to throw the ball anywhere.
I don't think Bortles is bad as everybody says
I don't
he
think
is.
Bortles is that bad. I think the team's just that bad. I think, though, I don't think any of the receivers are going to finish in the top 15, 20 of receivers. So I don't think any of those. I think
was Allen Robinson that bad? Well, here's the real question. Was Allen Robinson that bad last year because of Blake Bortles, or is Allen Robinson that bad?
Yeah, who knows?
Chicken and egg.
Then I think the guy that could sneak in. Yeah, I'll take that. By the way, I just finished that. What was this one called? I had
Old Bakery Cerveza Con Lima.
Awful, awful beer. It was a craft brewery's attempt to simulate dropping your lime in your beer or a limerita, and it was a miserable failure. Yes, no, please, just a Guinness draft. I'm going old school and cracking open a Guinness draft. But here's trust me, I'm not saying yeah, take it, Nerman. You can thank our Bosnians up the road on that one.
Is it good?
I don't like them, but I mean, I tried them a long time ago. So anyway,
so
I'm not saying I think this guy's the pick, but I think this is a pick that, well, for one, white America wants, and two, I think he's got talent.
White America wants. I think I know where you're going with
Christian
this one.
Christian McCaffrey. I think white America wants that guy to be the great white hope. So yeah, I think that he's got enough talent and enough a situation that could produce some good numbers for him. But if he does do it, it's going to be one of those guys that gets 700 to 800 yards rushing and 500 to 600 yards receiving and, you know, a lot of touchdowns in weird ways.
I would be more excited about that. And I did draft him in my fantasy league, which we'll get into later. My concern with him is Cam is still going to run for 3 to 5 touchdowns a year, and they still have the Daily Show Jonathan Stewart there. So I don't think you'll see crazy touchdown totals like you did with Elliott last year and possibly Fournette. But, yes, he is the great white hype.
Like I said, if it's touchdowns, it'll be touchdowns off of reverses and screens and weird things. So, and then, let's see, surprise team. What's your biggest surprise team?
Oh, shit. Why don't you go first? Let me think about this.
I've got the Dolphins. I got the Dolphins making the playoffs.
Jay Cutler.
I don't think that Cutler is the reason they're going to do it, although I don't like Cutler, never had liked Cutler, think he's a shitty quarterback and even worse person.
Sure.
But I think all he has to do is put the ball downfield, and I think they got weapons around it. I think they got a solid defense. I think they're well coached now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that whether it was him or Tannehill, I think they can get 9 to 10 wins and sneak into the playoff. And maybe upset someone.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Fly Eagles Fly Philadelphia Eagles.
That was my next pick.
I like Carson Wentz a lot. I think he is by far the best quarterback of that class. I think that, yeah, they don't have Jordan Matthews there anymore, but I think they have other weapons that could be
I think good. In 5 years, we're talking about all these great young quarterbacks right now. I think in 5 years it could be possible that we say, is Carson Wentz the best quarterback in the league right now? And sneak in there and do it.
Good, absolutely.
He had a great campaign as a starter.
Yeah, and like I touched on earlier, I don't think the NFC East is that great. I don't think the Giants will be as successful as they were last year. I think Eli is on the twilight of his career.
It's definitely a top-heavy division.
Mm-hmm. And I think the Cowboys are going to regress a little bit. I think the Eagles can sneak one, maybe two games from them. So,
and we'll see how long. Is it 6 or 4 games for Ezekiel Elliott? So we don't know. So
I don't know either.
Super Bowl champs.
Super Bowl champs. I feel like it's like an ESPN where you have to do like a voiceover like that. I'm going to still go with the Patriots. I think they're too loaded. I think that this is going to be – I think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, and Brady and Belichick both will ride into the sunset.
Wow, that's a hot take.
That's a hot take
number one. You and I agree wholeheartedly on this pick because I picked the Patriots over the Packers, someone that you spoke highly of earlier. So
I did. That would be my Super Bowl pick as well.
And
you know what they say about great minds.
And I got to tell you, last year's Super Bowl was damn entertaining, and I think it's gonna if that's the way it plays out, seeing those two guys throwing the ball all over the ballpark, it's going to be impressive to watch.
It'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, it was a great Super Bowl last year, and maybe this year we should watch it together holding hands.
All right, real quick, we'll hit on some quick and odd predictions, some miscellaneous shit before we get into our fantasy, which I do have fantasy on here. One, I thought a story we didn't talk about. It's going to be weird to see Peterson in the Big Easy, you know?
My prediction for Peterson is he has less than 600 yards rushing this year and is out of football after this season.
And my other one, if I was to tell you the city of L.A. was going to win 12 games, how do you think that would break down?
if the city of LA is – so they're guaranteed to win 12 – you're saying they're going to win 12 games this year. You tell me how that's going to break down.
Yeah, the city of LA is going to win 12 NFL games.
Chargers 9-7, Rams 3-13.
I was almost going to go 10-2. So, but three games is easy. I can see three games in NFL, but that's kind of where
your
I was.
Niners aren't, well, it's funny, is your Niners' only two wins last year were against the LA Rams.
Yeah. Well, and let's hear real quick of my 49ers. I got them. I legitimately sat down and examined it as much as I could. 6-10. I've got. I do think they're trending in the right direction, but I also think one of the things that's making them trend in the right direction, they've only got one, essentially one team in front of them, and that's Arizona. You know, and other than that, you can sneak out wins against the Rams and, well, Seattle. I forget Seattle. I hate Seattle so bad. That's why I forget them.
They were by far the best rival St. Louis had when the Rams were here.
So I've got also the sexiest player on the team in terms of fantasy production is Carlos Hyde. Mm-hmm. I got him with 800 yards and 6 touchdowns. I just
think more than that as long as he stays healthy.
I don't think he fits that offense. I don't think he fits Shanahan's offense whatsoever.
When Brian Hoyer is decapitated by week 5, they're going to have to run the ball. Yeah.
That makes it even worse.
Who's the backup for the Niners?
Quarterback?
Yeah.
You got me.
That's a very good sign.
I said we're going to be drafting a QB next year along with a lot of offensive weapons.
All right, let me ask you this. Let's say Brian Hoyer is decapitated by week 5 and Kaepernick's still available. Do the Niners sign him?
No, they're not going back to that.
Okay.
Kaepernick, don't get me wrong. Say what you want about kneeling down and all that stuff. I don't think that was his problem. I think his problem was the handling it in the press conferences after. And just him – I think he did draw attention in a negative way, too.
Absolutely, he did.
And I think – but I, as much as I think that, I think the team handled it equally bad. I don't think anybody wants to get into that mess again.
Of course. Oh, well, real quick. We always go into a race because that's the most important topic in our country right now. Where are the people that are lamenting for Colin Kaepernick, who, I agree, should be a backup somewhere on a team?
A backup.
Absolutely.
At best. I think he's probably his own worst enemy, but I think he wants to start somewhere.
I think there is some of that, too, yeah. But where were these people when Tebow wasn't getting shots? Because I thought Tebow was definitely backup-worthy in the NFL. But NFL owners are old, crotchety white dudes who do not want that kind of attention on their teams.
Well,
and that is why Colin Kaepernick is not on a team.
I think it's more than that. I think it goes a step further. I think that both Tebow and Colin Kaepernick really just can't run an offense and handle the NFL over a career.
Well, that's part of it, too.
I think you catch lightning in a bottle, and I think the NFL knows that Tebow had that great rookie campaign where he got him to the playoffs. And I think they're like, well, when you got a quarterback like him, that's your window.
Sure.
You don't do it with it, they get it next year.
And that's the sarcastic part of me, and I think there is a lot of that, too. But at the same time, if you're going to have your backup roster spot be a quarterback, you're going to either want it to be a kid who fits you, you can mold into your system, or somebody who fits your system completely, and nobody wants a running quarterback first that's 29 years old.
Yeah, because you have to put him on a team that's set up for a running cornerback.
Yeah,
quarterback.
Hey, and at least in Tebow's case, you can make some. RG3 is still unemployed, too.
Of all the teams that he could be a backup for, the best fit may be a team like Green Bay, who has a quarterback that can run and makes a lot of crazy. Or Pittsburgh, that has a quarterback that, although he's not a quote unquote runner, knows how to play when a play breaks down and the team knows how to play around it. But could you see those two franchises signing Kaepernick?
I think Kaepernick's best bet was Seattle, and it just, for whatever reasons, didn't work out.
I think somebody said it earlier too. I think it might have been Shannon Sharp said that he wants too much money. He's shooting himself in the foot.
If he came out and said, I'll take the minimum.
If you really want to play, you find a way to get in the league to play. You take the lump you can,
right,
and then earn it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, the cynical side of me thinks that he's doing some of this to the woe is me and get the attention.
Okay. Let's segue off, and let's not spend a whole lot of time on this because people love to laugh at the fact that you talk about your fantasy team in public. But
you're talking about general, not me.
Yeah, in general. So you've done two drafts, one draft?
Technically three. So I did one in May, actually. It was an interesting – and I'm going to talk about
May?
This. So I'm going to talk about this briefly. I've only done three leagues for a long time, and I have a firm belief that doing more than three leagues is a disservice to the people in your league because you're not going to pay. Once you start getting over three leagues, you're not paying as much attention.
Yeah.
But the reason I joined this league was it's a suicide league, and I was intrigued by that. And what it means by suicide league is
it means you may be dead if you don't make the playoffs?
Exactly.
Holy cow.
Once you draft your team, that's it. No transactions allowed.
Wow, that's tough.
It is. So I'm already kind of screwed because.
And to do it in May.
Yeah. So I had Edelman, so I'm already in trouble there.
So you don't get to put anyone in as.
Nope.
Well, you had bench players.
Yeah. So I've got some people. I have a full starting roster still. I am a little nervous because I was nervous after I finished the draft. My two quarterbacks are Prescott, who. Mm-hmm. I think we'll regress. I'm not worried about that so much. I'm worried about
throw 14 interceptions, which is still a good year.
I'm just worried about his health.
Yeah.
Those quarterback type of quarterbacks, and he doesn't run all the time, but it just seems that.
Well, you hope that he's well coached and he learns to minimize the hits.
Sure. And then my backup is Blake Bortles, who may be out of a job. So yeah.
That's a tough one. How many teams are in this league?
12.
Yeah, Steve. Blake Bortles. Oof.
Mm. I waited too long to draft a quarterback. $20 buy-in, though, too, so not a big deal. And then, yeah, I had the college friends draft, which I won't get into because, you know, nobody gives a shit about that. But then I had the draft with Mr. Bender. And one quick story about that is Bender fancied himself as the auctioneer. So his big booming voice is like, I got three, two, one. And he was getting so pissed when people would put in last second bids. He's like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Was he getting drunk?
We were all drunk, yeah.
We got drunk the night before. See, he did two nights in a row, and I don't know how many pitchers that I and his cousin drank, but yeah. I think it was in the 6 to 7
So
range.
Three of you showed up at Hooters this time?
Well, not to get off on this, but my brother-in-law couldn't show up because his father-in-law went into the hospital and he passed away last night.
Holy shit.
Yeah, but so that.
Sorry for your loss.
That was a bummer for him and that family. So for the Thomason family, yeah, that did suck.
Let's keep them in your T's and P's.
Yeah, but everyone else is around the country. So
okay,
yeah. So but we drank like 6 or 7 pitchers of beer. So
nice.
Yeah,
I'm sure Rachel was really happy of him.
So I mean, are you confident in any of your teams has the ability to take you all the way to the promised land?
My college team sucks, but my work league,
which was your first time doing an auction draft.
No.
Okay. First time this league.
This is my for the work league, yes, but this is my college league turned to auction draft style in 2015. Mm. I was successful the last 2 years, made the playoffs both times, and made the championship last year. But this year I had Breeze, Julio Jones, and David Johnson, which is great, but that took up 70% of my budget. So my bench is shit. Complete shit.
I have at present 2 drafts, and I have one more looming that I'm worried that I'm not going to get to do because it's a Saturday and this is a holiday weekend where we camp annually. There's no way around it. We're doing
You're camping next weekend.
Yeah. The odd thing about both drafts is my teams are drastically different. I'm not so happy with either one per se, but I took Jameis Winston and Philip Rivers in the exact same rounds in both drafts, which is odd.
It's just odd. What round?
I think I took him. Jameis was, I think, the 8th or 9th round.
What quarterback off the board?
And what's that?
What quarterback off the board? Like, how many? So
there was.
So you targeted him. Based off your conversation earlier about him being the MVP
one draft. Yeah,
you should put money on that, by the way, because I bet you get 40 to 1.
A prop bet on it. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I'll say this: in both leagues, quarterbacks went a little quicker than I anticipated. But in my second league, which drafted online today, Tom Brady was the first overall pick. So I'm
Jesus.
Yeah. So I'm not worried about that league.
People are retarded. Speaking of football, don't you and Bender owe me a dinner at Shamrocks?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. We do. I think we should just go in and split it. You want, but I can say this. Without tabulating the last 3 weeks, it was way closer than we thought it was. Because you ended up getting, over the last 8 weeks.
Well, I got lazy.
You got locked out twice.
Yeah.
And that helped. And I do think, honestly, me and Bender may have tied. So we should just take you to Shamrocks and split it.
Sounds great.
So that's what we'll do. That's cut. And maybe we'll come up with a Super Bowl bet or something for this year's contest or something like that.
We'll do something different and we'll let you all know what it is.
Yeah, so let's get into miscellaneous. We're running long, but let's, you know, I'm sure we got some other stuff to talk about. And at the when I record the intro to this, I'm going to tell people, if you don't like sports and football, you might want to take 5 minutes into the thing and skip to the last 10 minutes of the podcast. So, because that's what we do. We spend a lot of time on the NFL, and we are not a sports podcast, but we are an all things podcast.
We think that's in the title of the podcast.
We are all accepting, all loving, and all embracing. So we take it all in. You
except
know?
For Asians, apparently.
Yeah, except for Asians and, you know, Bender right now because he's not here. So fuck him. I wanted to say here, the only miscellaneous shit I have today was all movie related and TV okay. related. All I watched right. Rain of Fire when I woke up this morning because I had two hours.
With Denzel.
Nope. That's oh. Man on Fire.
Oh, shit. All right, I got
Rain of Fire is Christian Bale, Matt McConaughey, and Gerard Butler chasing dragons in an alternate future where dragons are born and destroy the country, the world.
Wait, is that Oh, yeah, that movie.
Yeah. My favorite thing about it is it starred, and it's a good movie. I thought it's very underrated.
It's okay, yeah.
Very underrated in special effects.
Have you never seen it before?
Yeah, I have. It's just okay. been a long time. The special effects still hold up in the because it was made a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, 2005?
Yeah, and so, but the special effects are great. The movie's pretty, the movie's enjoyable. But the fact that you have Batman, Leonidas, and the Man in Black, or better yet, you've got, I'm Batman, this is Sparta, and all right, all in the same movie.
You know what I like about dragons? Older I get, they stay the same age.
You also had two Oscars in the three main people. And by the way, I say Gerard Butler, he wasn't the main character. He was a nothing character in the movie. But, yeah, so good movie.
Fun fact.
Yeah, I dug it. Anyway, I just wanted to talk about it because I watched it this morning and I thought, this is way better than I remembered. Also, right after that, when Hayden got up, the movie 12 Rounds with John Cena, which I believe was his first big
movie. John Cena! Speaking of which, John Cena made me cry this week.
Oh, that video.
Are you talking about the one I'm talking about where, like,
where all the people come out?
And, like, they how much he meant to them?
I do believe John Cena's a good person, but I think that was a little staged.
A little staged?
Of course. His tears and
stuff. No, I bet that was genuine.
I don't know.
Dude, I was teared up.
It was good.
So even if he knew that these people were going to happen, hearing that kind of stuff.
I'm with you.
If you knew somebody was going to come to you and say, hey, my mom had cancer, but the rap cast is what kept me going, and even if you knew it was coming, you're going to tear up.
I tell you what, I would tear up. I'd be
especially
happy.
After history
and when
too.
That person walked away, I would think the same thing I think about the people that love John Cena. I would think, man, these people just needed someone to root for. Because
they're a mark, bro.
Yeah, because hustle, loyalty, and respect and never give up really hit that home to you. But congratulations. I mean, it's good that if you can inspire people. But when I was watching 12 Rounds today, which is a very uninspiring acting performance from John Cena.
Isn't Carcetti in that?
Who's that?
Or Littlefinger?
That's what I wanted to say. It was Littlefinger was the bad guy in it. That's what I loved him.
I thought you watched The Wire.
No, I've never seen The Wire.
Yeah, that's right. No, he's Carcetti.
Oh, okay.
Carcetti first, Littlefinger second.
But, you know, but that said, I wanted to go from, you know, the fact that I saw Littlefinger being a bad guy on that to what kind of bad guy is Littlefinger going to be tonight? In the fight, to the final episode.
He's getting got tonight.
I think he's the man. I think he's the odds-on favorite to get murdered tonight. So, my big question is, though, is it Arya or Sansa that kills him?
That literally kills him?
Yeah.
Arya Stark.
See, I think Arya is going to kill him, but I think Littlefinger's very smart. I think he traps her, and Sansa pulls the trigger, so to speak.
I would guess that Sansa and Arya have been in cahoots the entire time, and Arya will be the one since she's got the experience to kill his ass.
And I will say this, though. I put nothing past it at this season because even though this season has been enjoyable, it's been some of the most paper-thin plot writing in the history of TV.
The show's gone a little...
They're rushing it.
Yeah.
They're rushing it. So
let's say Littlefinger gets got tonight. Who is it? Cersei by far and away the person that people want to get got the next?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Cersei's got to die.
Oh, yeah.
Got to die. So, but if you had to encapsulate this season, like prediction, bold prediction for that, not anything with the story, but is this season, is tonight's season finale going to be a letdown or leaving them on the edge of the seat?
Edge of the seat.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think the season is fun as it's been, even though you throwing plot aside, throwing
it's fine. It's
throwing logistics of travel aside. It's been a good season, but I think it's built straight into a very anticlimactic season finale because all it's going to set up a very hopefully exciting series finale next year.
Yeah,
which isn't even a year away this time.
I would say if I had to predict tonight how it's going to end, it's going to end with zombie dragon.
Did you just say with?
Probably with. Mm. Huh. Who whip?
Here's how it goes. It's with dragons, y'all.
With dragons. That wall's coming down tonight.
Yeah, there's a bunch of fan theories that there's a dragon living in the wall, an ice dragon. But I think,
living in the wall?
But I think we just saw an ice dragon
get resurrected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where'd them chains come from, man?
Them chains been on us, folks, since we came to here.
Oh, man. That's a good hot take number two. Hot take. Did he create them from ice?
But no, the Ice King was like listening to Stevie Nixon, like, we can never break the train if you don't have my dragon now.
So just in case they had to fish a dragon on the off chance that they had to fish a dragon from some frozen water, they bring these ginormous chains with them everywhere they go. Chains. And we haven't seen them till now.
Chain that binds us.
Great writing this year.
It's been
great writing.
Well,
it's still entertaining. In spite of the brilliant...
It is. We've talked about this in the podcast from day one. It is so hard. We bust balls all the time, and not just us. Everybody
in pop
culture.
Dude, you shit on day one. You weren't here in day one.
I should have been.
We'd be a lot farther along at this point, I can tell you.
But no, that's who we are as pop culture critics. You know, and we are pop culture critics. We shit on everything because it's so damn hard to write 80 episodes of television or...
Yeah,
seven or eight albums.
The Bender rule, now, you know the Bender rule.
Now I'm going to throw this out there. Can I segue now? Or are we still talking about stuff?
That's all I had with Game of Thrones. There's two other quick things I want to talk about. Here.
We talk shit on people. I'm going to talk shit right now. That Taylor Swift song is so fucking bad. It is horrible.
Horrible?
It's horrible.
Would you call it horrible?
She's a whore. Yeah.
I've not listened to it.
It's bad.
Just cards on the table. But I will say this. I love that all the critics are almost in unison saying, no one made you do this. This is all you. Please go back to being the sweet girl that made good country's pop song.
Taylor Swift can do whatever she wants to do. She wants to make pop music and get a little rappy. So be it. But she lost me. And if you haven't checked out her song, it is called Look What You Made Me Do. It's horrible, but what it really...
bad song? Why not make you make a bad song?
Where it got to the campy part is, it's like...
Right,
stops,
Fred?
And she... I'm too sexy for this song.
So I should stop? Okay, just done.
She literally says, hey, like, does a phone call, like, hey, I'm sorry you wanted old Taylor, but she's not here right now. She's dead. Like, what?
I think there's been a couple of articles I've read and saying this is her trying to make a Lemonade-style album and things like that, which Beyonce got a lot. And don't get me wrong, I don't think that Lemonade album was bad. I just didn't think it was
fine.
As brilliant as everyone thought it was. I thought that the...
Everything is hyperbole.
I thought that the HBO special where people were talking about, well, this is just brilliant. What the HBO had special going for it, the one long video that was every song in the album, you know what that had going for it? The fact that HBO gave her the money to make it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You give
a little bit of an incentive there.
You give notorious, not notorious, but legendary video turned movie director Spike Jonze $12 million and say, take an album and make a long video out of it. Guy's going to make a fucking great album.
Sure.
You
can't shit talk Beyonce because you'd be racist. Yeah.
Yeah. You Beyonce. I'd be somebody else. How about, I put a couple quick notes too on here too, speaking of. Release things.
Alrighty.
We got a release date on the old Super Troopers 2.
April 2018?
420, baby. On purpose.
I love it.
If you don't know, there is a podcast out there called Chewing It with Steve and Kevin, and that's Steve Lemmy and Kevin Heffernan. That's Mac and Farva. And it's a pretty good podcast, especially through this whole Super Trooper 2 thing, because they give you a lot of updates and stuff. But this the last episode in general... is great because Steve Lemmy to a Burlington, Vermont leaked about 3 days before it was supposed to be released, and he leaked the release date to a reporter. He thought it was off the record, and the reporter released it.
Ugh.
And he thought, it's a great story, because he didn't think anything was going to come of it. The next morning, he woke up and took a flight, and by the time he got on the flight, there was all these things from Shandekshakar or whatever his name is, and all of them, "What the fuck did you do, Lemmy?" And Fox executives and marketing people were like, "You motherfucker," and it caused a shitstorm for them. And they ended up, they did have this great market, and he said he talked to a person who used to be the market PR person for like the Stones and all that, this woman from back in the day.
Yeah.
And she said, "Trust me, the studio execs don't give a fuck. It's the marketing people that make a living marketing," because they had this campaign with this big teaser trailer that was going to drop. So they had to scrap all that and reshift and just release it. And now they're going to do. But it's a pretty fun story hearing him talk about how he fucked up the release, because those guys are close. They're actually friends.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
A couple of them were in college together, a good chunk of them. Essentially, they were a traveling improv slash skit group.
All those guys are buddies. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've been together for a long time. And it's worth listening to. My favorite story from it is their manager, who's been their manager since day one. Lemmy said when it all reality sunk in on him, what he worried about most was the negotiating table with Fox about their pay. He said, "Is this going to hurt our negotiating?" And he said he didn't respond for like half a day. And when he did respond, he texted back the one word, "Suffer." And he said, "That made me feel like shit." He goes, and it crippled me. But it's a good story. So there's that. And then the last thing I've got is I love, you know, and I know you love the 80s.
I do.
And I loved being a kid because I had a lot of toys. We were not a rich family. In fact, we were a borderline white trash family when it comes to money. But I always had things I wanted. One of the things, I remember going to stay with my dad and or aunt every time when I was a kid, every other weekend or every weekend.
Sure.
Was saving up my quarters and dimes and nickels and for a couple dollars, and going down to the edge of the street, the block, to the gas station, and buy me a pack of Garbage Pail Kids. Well, there is a brand new documentary about the sensation that was the Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah, you're definitely older than me.
Dude, that you gotta watch the trailer. Like
Garbage Pail Kids is way before my time.
Well, that movie,
not way before my
they
time.
They were big. They made.
Well, I remember seeing the movie as a kid and like,
oh, I loved the movie. It was so bad. I loved it. But it made none of the creative people, the artists, the writers, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Made none of them rich, but it made the card company like millionaires. Millionaires. Like it was the most. It was outselling all sports cards for a while.
That's crazy.
And so much so that Xavier Roberts sued him for a astronomical sum, which was like a record. You know who he is?
Nope.
He's Cabbage Patch Kid creator.
Okay.
And they were, because that's why they literally were created, because the Cabbage Patch Kids was such an absurd thing. People were waiting in line 4, 5, 6 hours to adopt one of these.
It's so crazy.
So they created these cards to make fun of it.
Yeah. Cabbage Patch Kids was like early 80s.
Yeah.
I was born in 82. So.
And this was a landmark lawsuit case because it defined what is considered parody and what is considered trademark infringement. So it's a documentary that's coming out that's worth watching. You got to check it out.
All right.
Check it out. I'll put it up when I put the episode up.
Sounds good.
What else you got?
I ripped on Taylor Swift. And
awful song.
It's terrible.
The flop is lukewarm on it. She doesn't hate it. She kind of likes it. So. But she married me, so her taste is in question to begin with.
All right, last thing I have is I've been raising this banner since day one, I think, of this podcast. But BoJack Horseman season 4 coming out here in about 2 or 3 weeks on Netflix. Fantastic show, I think.
As good as any animated show out there, along with Rick and Morty, maybe the top of your list.
And I would love to have an episode where I could really break down Rick and Morty versus BoJack Horseman and where they are at. Rick and Morty season 3 is the best season so far.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
They're trolling themselves, and I mean they're doing so much good stuff. Pickle
it's
Rick,
great.
You know, what's their Avengers called? The superhero team that they just had.
Oh shit!
Yeah, I can't remember. But
talking of a D, right?
They're the Avengers, is what they are,
right.
Which is what's funny. And
every episode so far has been great. The Jerry episode was so funny. And BoJack Horseman, I think, is still a better show than Rick and Morty. It's darker, but
it's different. They're different.
Yeah. Did you ever watch BoJack?
I watched the first season, and I did not watch the second season, not because I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Just time constraints with all the stuff.
First
season
is the worst season, too.
Oh, that's awesome. That made because it was enjoyable.
The trailer for season four just dropped on Friday, and it just looks very, very interesting and dark too. I mean, it's a great show. I think Will Arnett, you know, he'll always be known for Job.
There was a time where Will Arnett and Amy Poehler were probably comedy's power duo.
Yeah. And they're still apparently close. And unfortunately, Will Arnett has not gotten anything off the ground live action wise since Arrested Development. But yeah. He's great as BoJack. It's a great show.
Underrated movie, that movie where he goes to jail.
Yeah.
It's actually got some, it's very raunchy.
It.
And, you know, it takes you off guard.
I made a huge mistake being on this podcast.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we all thought so. But real quick with Netflix, too, we didn't get into The Defenders dropping. I haven't watched it yet. I'm sure Bender has started it. When he's back, we'll talk about it.
That'll be you, too. I've not watched any of those. I've heard it's just okay.
But other than that, my man, what the fuck else do you have?
Hey, all I got is this. NHL.com just came out the top 20 defensemen, and Alex Pietrangelo was ranked number 14. Thought that was a little fair.
Right in the middle?
Right in the middle. For, you know, top 20. Blues season opener is 37 days away.
And counting.
College football technically opening this weekend.
Wait, 37 days away. That's going to put us pretty close to being episode 100.
The Blues season opener is their season opener at home is October 7th?
The first week of October.
So it's the first Saturday of October.
So that'll be episode 101. Yeah.
Going that night, so
yeah. Well, I mean, we're not. I mean, you know, still.
Well,
exciting.
More likely than not, I'll probably take John. So
a little bit.
I won't get hammered that night. So if you want to do the game night that Sunday, it's fine.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
That's not what I was bringing up, but it's going to be. It's a landmark month.
I think you're trying to get me to goad me somewhere, so I'll go ahead and do it. Hey, you know what? Let's go.
I'm not gonna mimic the other two people that weren't here and do theirs.
Bye.
I'm just gonna just say,
hold on to your butts.
Well, he will. He'll do it. But playing the music. That's it. We're done. Yeah.
How did we go?
120. Yeah, around at 120. It went well. Probably 125 when I add the intro. And